Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. And back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from the Family Crisis Center here in Farmington. Saberta Bitsui is back with us this morning. Saberta, welcome back to KSJE. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
You are the Development Training Manager.
Correct.
For Family Crisis Center. So great to have you here. Let me introduce our other guests who are in the studio with us this morning. Kevin Bahi is here, Domestic Violence Counselor. Kevin, welcome to KSJE.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And also, Lori Muniz is here, a Life Skills Coordinator with the Family Crisis Center. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming in this morning. And Saberta, let me start with you a little bit about the Family Crisis Center and the services that it provides to people in the area and families in the area. And as we heard, it's been here for a long time, and it's about to expand a little bit. And so talk to us a little bit about the history of Family Crisis Center.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for having us on the air. We're excited to let our community know about Family Crisis Center and who we are. We've been in the community over 45 years. We were initially started by a lady by the name of Marge Atkinson. She, in the 1970s, had a restaurant, and she would see women that were abused in her restaurant, so she started taking the women into her home. So that has since expanded into our current agency. So we have the largest domestic violence agency in San Juan County, and we have we offer non-residential counseling services and shelter service to our victims and survivors of domestic violence.
Right, and as we heard last year, you helped over 900 people, over 900 clients, right?
Yeah, we service in all our programs, counseling and shelter. We were able to serve over 928 clients from San Juan County and Navajo Nation. Those are some of the clients that we provide services for.
Right. And that shelter is a really important component, I think, of the services that you provide, giving women and in some cases men and children a place to go in an emergency, right?
Correct. So we do offer services to anybody that needs help. So we do have a 24-hour crisis hotline that they can call us on, and they'll actually speak to a live advocate about their situation, or they also can come into our admin office as a crisis walk-in. So those are two different ways they can come into our shelter.
Very good. And you're about to expand a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And we jumped the gun a little bit. I know the ribbon cutting is next week, right? Or the grand opening.
Yeah, we're excited to let our community know. We have basically we're calling it the expansion of Marge's Place, which is the name of our current shelter. So
Marge's Other Place.
Marge's Place is our current shelter.
Right.
And so it's a 14-bedroom shelter, but with the expansion, we're going to take it to 19. So it'll be a 19-bedroom location. And so the new facility will offer 5 additional bedrooms, bathrooms, and living spaces. And so the grand opening for our new shelter will be next Thursday, and we'll have invited guests that will come to our grand opening.
Okay, very good. Well, congratulations. And again, it's one of those things that it's nice that we have. I'm sorry that we have to have an expansion of the shelter, but it's so important to have a space, as we said, for folks to be able to go to in an emergency to escape a domestic violence situation.
Correct. I think it's just having the largest agency in the local area, and I think we probably have one of the best facilities in San Juan County and New Mexico, so we're excited to be able to expand our services.
Very good. Well, again, congratulations, and it is a great organization. It's been around for a long time, as you mentioned, and provides a lot of other things besides the shelter, and that's what we're going to talk about with our other guests, too, here this morning. But what else did you want to mention before? I know you're going to make room for another guest that you brought with you this morning.
Right. We just wanted to remind everybody that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So as an agency, we have numerous activities planned for the month of October. We'll be doing a couple of table events. Like this afternoon, we'll be at the Farmington Public Library from 3 to 6. Tomorrow, we'll be at the Farmers Market in Bloomfield from 11 to 1. And then we'll just have a couple of other events that I want to mention for October.
Sure.
In addition to our grand opening next Thursday, we also do have a scavenger hunt that we're doing for the community. There'll be different purple posters and different businesses through the community. So if you see a poster, scan the QR code, and that will tell you how to answer some questions, and you'll bring your information to our agency, and you'll have a chance to win a couple of prizes that will be given out on November 2nd. And we have a couple of events called Nail It Event. We're asking our community members to color their ring fingernail purple and to go ahead and post it, and either on Instagram or Facebook. And that's going to be showing your support for victims and survivors of domestic violence. And then you also, by doing that, also put yourself in a drawing for an acrylic full nail set that will be given out on November 2nd.
Okay.
And we'll be doing that at the Anderson Valley Mall on October 19th, and then that same event on October 26th at downtown Farmington at the Icon Salon and Barbershop. And then here at the college, we have a Zumba Monster Mash coming up on Friday evening, October 27th from 6 to 8, and we're asking that our clients come with their costumes, and we'll give out prizes and t-shirts to the first 50 participants. And so that'll be over at the Health and Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then on October 30th, we're going to have our trick or treat drive-through at the Family Crisis Center, and you can just go through the parking lot to get your goodie bags.
Nice.
And then we also have a purple purse drawing that we're doing. You can purchase your tickets online, and you can go to our website and put in your name for a drawing. So it's a beautiful Brahmin purple bag that we're giving out.
Okay.
And then we're just asking our community to put purple lights up in their homes or businesses to support our victims and survivors of domestic violence.
Very good. That's a busy month.
Yeah, so we have a lot of things
going on. This is just the
on.
Second half. I don't know what you've been doing the first half of the month. Good grief. But that's a lot.
Yeah, so we're excited to just to let the community know that there's different ways they can support our victims and survivors of domestic violence.
Very true. And again, this is a problem that affects people throughout the year. It's nice that we can give 1 month to kind of highlight and talk about all the services that you do, but you folks are working and available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when it's not October. I mean,
correct.
It's an all-the-time, on-the-job kind of a thing, right?
Right.
When someone's in crisis, they can reach out to the Family Crisis Center.
Exactly.
And that's important. And I think, too, before you go, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the importance of women or men in a domestic violence situation reaching out to get help. And we've heard, I think, that it takes maybe a few times for someone to finally, you know, make the decision to make that call or talk to somebody or seek help. And so that's really important, I think, that folks remember that, you know, it's not too late to break that cycle.
They say on average that it takes, well, mainly the women are the ones that are affected,
sure,
by domestic violence, so we'll talk about the women. So it takes the women about 7 times before they leave their perpetrator. And so sometimes our clients will come to our shelter, and it's basically a pattern where they'll come and then they'll be back in a month. So it does take them some time to actually leave the perpetrator altogether. So some of my co-workers will tell you a little bit about how we help to get them to be self-sufficient and get empowered to leave their situation if need be and to be able to have a healthier family.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, Saberta, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing all these other important guests with you this morning. I know you're going to make room for one more.
Yes.
And we'll bring Angie in to talk about her job with the Family Crisis Center. We'll talk with our other guests as well. But I really appreciate you
coming in
and sharing all these success stories with us and about how the great work the Family Crisis Center has been doing for over 45 years.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, you bet. That's Saberta Bitsui. Let me turn to our other guest while we make room for our other guest who's here. And let me talk to Kevin Bahi first. And Kevin, you're a domestic violence counselor, and that's another area that the Family Crisis Center offers help to, is counseling and things like that for men and women. You deal mostly with men, and so talk to me a little bit about the work that you do.
Okay, so I deal mainly with the offenders. A lot of them are men. Some of the services that we provide at Family Crisis Center are working in the group settings, known as a HEAL group. HEAL basically stands for Helping Explore Accountable Lifestyles. So that's one of the things that we really work with and really promote, is accountability with a lot of the men who at one time were abusers. I also do individual counselings as well, and that will basically be with offenders as well as the victims. One of the things that we also promote, just like Soberta said, was that self-determination, that sense of empowerment with the victims as well. We also provide services to victims such as groups. We have several support groups, and Angie, who just stepped in with us, will also talk a little bit about that as well.
Very good. Thank you very much for talking a little bit about that. And our other guest who is here this morning is Lori Muniz, who is a life skills coordinator. And Lori, again, thank you for coming in and tell me a little bit about the work that you do, because it's a bit different than being a counselor, correct? You're talking about life skills and maybe helping these individuals once they leave the shelter?
Yes. What I do is I help the ladies, the victims, reestablish themselves in society, if you can say that. Mm-hmm. To help them find jobs, employment, help them with their resumes. Sometimes they go through financial abuse, so then we help them establish bank accounts and to develop a financial budget for their families. I also co-facilitate the domestic violence offenders class with Kevin and some other and co-workers that we have there. Right now we're developing a life skills group. It covers how to have healthy relationships, what actually domestic violence is, how to communicate, and to develop a safety plan and other various topics that we have.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I would think that for some people that are trying to get out of a domestic violence situation, but maybe they are hesitant because their partner is the main income generator for the family.
Right,
and so
right.
If they leave that relationship, even though it's unhealthy and dangerous and violent, they're probably wondering how they're going to have money to feed their kids or themselves.
Right,
or
right.
Then that's what you help with then.
Right, I do. And I also work with the domestic violence advocates just to help them to develop those, those skills and just to get back into society to make sure that they have the ability to support themselves and their families.
Right. Very, very good. Well, thank you for the work that you do and for coming in to share it with us this morning. I appreciate it. And let me talk to our new guest who's here with us this morning. Angie Bikas is here, domestic violence counselor as well. Angie, welcome to you. Thank you for coming in. And tell us a little bit about the work that you do. You're working with women at the shelter, correct? Or at the Family Crisis Center?
At Family Crisis Center.
Mm-hmm.
As a counselor, a domestic violence counselor, I help victims with assessments and service plan. I also work with children and facilitate the resiliency group, which includes anger management and codependency. Oftentimes we find a lot of codependent
sure.
characteristics, and to learn for the victims to learn that, it sometimes it's an aha moment to reflect some of the things that they've gone through. And so that's been going well. I also facilitate shelter group at times. I also supervise interns for social work.
Nice. Okay.
Through the Highlands program. And so far with our Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I've been doing a little bit more outreach.
Right. So Berta was telling you about the schedule that you all have for this month. So it's a lot of outreach that you've got planned to meet folks and let them know what you all do at the center. So that's wonderful. Very good. And with the counseling, maybe for both you and Kevin, how much counseling are folks offered? How long does it go on? Does it depend on the case? Does it depend on the individual? How much counseling is available for folks if they're in a domestic violence situation?
Yes, it does depend on the individual, their circumstances, again, their schedule, if they have childcare, just a lot of variables to consider, but we usually have a treatment plan that covers, what we offer,
right.
And most times they are willing to agree to the service plan to get services.
That's important. And Kevin, what about with men? Again, same thing, I imagine, too. You certainly can't say it's got to be done in 60 days or whatever, but depending on the situation. But you're there to offer counseling and assistance for as long as it's needed, in most cases, I would say?
Yes. Like Angie said, it's circumstantial. The HEAL program that we have is also known as a 52-session program. However, the way I've been explaining it to my clients is 52 weeks is more, or 52 sessions is more of a baseline. We do have several clients that have been attending a lot further than 52. So it all depends on the client. Everybody, the way the program's designed is everybody's kind of working at their own pace. So, you know, that some people work faster than others.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And as Roberta was saying, of course, women are most of the time the victims and survivors of domestic violence. But there are some men that are also in that situation as mm-hmm. well. And Kevin, do you work with them as well?
Yes, I do. I do have several clients that are males that are also considered victims as well. And that's one of the things that we're also bringing awareness forward about is it's not just women who are victims, and a lot of times it's the males. And we're starting to see a little bit of a rise in numbers with that.
Right. Gotcha. But you have the services and you provide the counseling for those victims as well.
Yes, we do.
Which is important to note, I think. And in some cases, is there a chance of reconciliation, or is that sometimes an option for some of these situations? I know they're all different and they're all unique. And so, but is that sometimes what counseling can maybe help to happen, or not necessarily?
Sometimes yes, and again, it depends on the situation. It depends on the level of lethality that's also involved as well. For example, if one person's using a handgun on another person, you know, the likelihood of them rekindling the relationship is very slim.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But if it's not so violent, perhaps there are some other possibilities with counseling on both sides to get back together for the sake of the children or things like that?
Yes, yes, there is that possibility.
Got you. Very good. Good to know. Let me go back to Lori a little bit and talk about some of the work that you do, again, with the life skills and, again, trying to help, because I think folks can stay at the shelter for about 90 days. And then after that, the hope is that they're able to find an apartment or a house or some other place away from their abuser to move on with their life. And that's kind of what you're helping them prepare for. Is that correct?
Right. Like I said, I work with the domestic violence advocate that works at the shelter. I try to help her, you know, help them find employment, make sure that they have the medical care that they need, to try to look for apartments, to get financially stable. A lot of the ladies already come in with jobs, so we help them. I try to help them with childcare. There's a lot of resources out there for the ladies to use to reestablish their lives.
Gotcha.
And then the program that I do is an 11-week program. So.
Got it. And what would you say is maybe the biggest obstacle, I guess, to maybe folks trying to get out on their own? Or is it affordable housing? Is it the job market? What would you say?
It'll be mainly the housing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fairly short. Housing is pretty short here, especially with the affordability of the rent and having to, you know, have to pay for childcare as well. So that's probably one of the major obstacles would be the housing, looking for housing for them.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you very much. For you, Angie and Kevin, when you're talking to your clients and when they come to you, we talked a little bit about how maybe it takes 7 times for someone to finally make that decision to seek help and reach out to the Family Crisis Center. Is that what you find sometime with your folks that you're talking with and counseling, that it's been a few steps before they make that big decision to reach out? Angie, what happens with your clients?
I have had a few clients that, you know, have gone through the cycle many times before they decided. Most times, it's financial.
That uncertainty, I guess, right, of making that.
Yeah, and then again, the kids, mm-hmm. especially if they're young, it's hard for them to decide, and you know, because right. they wanted to be a family. So those are some of the factors that I notice.
Sure.
Keeps them in that cycle.
Okay. Kevin, same for you?
Same with some of the victims that I've worked with.
Yes.
Another thing that I've noticed is, you know, with, you know, the level of trauma that's being passed down, a lot of times the behavior is normalized, you know, the abuse is normalized, and, you know, some of the victims don't even realize that there are resources out there. We've come across several victims that didn't even know family crisis was out there. So, yeah, that I would say, like Angie said, you know, there's many factors. There's a financial, you know, there's a little bit of instability when a person has to leave. And a lot of times it's an instant decision. It's not like, hey, I can plan this over a certain amount of time.
Sure. I just can't do it anymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. I need to get out of this situation. I understand. And it sounds like you're telling me in some cases it is generational maybe, that this is unfortunately something that is happening in generations of families until the pattern is broken.
Yes. And okay. That's a level of awareness that we also bring forward as well with both victims and our offenders is, you know, the generational trauma that's involved. We also introduce things like the cycle of violence, what it looks like, and, you know, the warning signs to also keep an eye out for as well.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to ask you all about, too, is just that this is a problem that affects all ethnicities, all socioeconomic levels. I mean, it really doesn't discriminate. I mean, there are domestic violence situations in the very wealthiest of neighborhoods and the very poorest of neighborhoods, I would say, in our community. And that is what you see, I would assume, in your day-to-day jobs.
Yes.
Is that what you find?
That's what I'm finding also.
Right. Kevin, same for you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's, I don't want to say funny, but it's interesting how you made that statement. Like, it doesn't discriminate, because that's actually something that we talked about, Lori and I, as well as my other co-facilitators with some of our groups, is, you know, the abuse doesn't discriminate.
Right. Affects everybody. Mm-hmm. And Lori, I'm sure with your work too, right? You are helping folks from all levels of our community.
Right, all levels, all ages, it doesn't discriminate at all. It
right.
could happen to anybody.
Someone could be married for 50 years and still need help.
Right, right.
Very important.
Yes.
Very good. Well, we are just about out of time, everyone, but I want to thank you all for coming in and sharing your work with us and the work that you do for our community. It's really great and important work, and it's nice to see the support of the community to allow the Family Crisis Center to expand Marge's Place, which we heard is going to be happening next week. So congratulations with that, and providing more individuals and their children with a place to go, a safe place to go. So thank you for the work that you all do, and thank you for being my guest this morning. Appreciate
you
all being here.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. From the Family Crisis Center, my guest right here on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.